In these four messages, we've been concentrating on several verses in Philippians chapter 3. And these verses show us Paul's pattern for all the believers to pursue, to experience, and to enjoy the wonderful Christ. And in the first message, we considered what Paul said, that he was forgetting the things that are behind. He was willing to count the loss of everything because nothing can compare with the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
And Christ was his goal. And even though he was mature, I would say to the uttermost, he still said, I haven't arrived. I'm still pressing on, just stretching out for the goal, which is Christ himself. And when we reach the goal, we receive the prize, Christ himself. Amen. Then in message 2, we based that on Paul saying that he wanted to be always found in Christ. If anyone would meet him or observe him, they would realize this brother is now in Christ, living in Christ. Then Paul went on to say, this being found in Christ depends upon that I am living according to the righteousness of God in a subjective way. So I'm very glad we worship the Father with hymn 20. On his righteousness. And that was an emphasis in Saturday morning's message. But there is the subjective righteousness, which is Christ himself as the Spirit living in us. And when we express the indwelling Christ in our daily living, that is subjective righteousness. And we pointed out that these one acts after another, hundreds of them, thousands of them, they are related to what is in Revelation 19, 7 and 8. And the first of the verses says that, rejoice, the bride has made herself ready. Amen. The Lord can come, the bridegroom can come. And then in the next verse, there was a description of her wedding dress, made in fine linen, formed by righteousnesses. She was stitching her own dress by being found in Christ and expressing Christ as subjective righteousness in all kinds of things. It could be when you're driving a car and someone cuts in front of you. There's more than one kind of reaction. Eventually, you'll have a God-man reaction. You won't make any gestures. You won't make any sound. You'll just gently press on the brake. Let him go. Let him go. Instead of looking in the mirror, where are the police? I want them to get him right now. And just itty-bitty things like this, more and more, will be situations in which it's not we, the self, being expressed, but Christ. And then last night, I believe the Lord was with us in a precious way. The subject was on knowing Christ experientially and knowing the power of his resurrection. Amen. Now we're coming to message 4, and I need to give a very brief word before getting into this. And I'll explain why. Because most of this message is spiritually very deep. But this is what I need to say. We are all members of the God family. We're all brothers and sisters in the family of God, in the house of God. Just a wonderful family. And I don't have that larger family. But when we all come together, there are three ages there. There's grandpa, And then there's the middle-aged daughter, middle-aged sons, and then one son with his middle-aged wife, and their two sons and daughter. There is no feeling about, we just don't get along, we're at different stages, we're in a family. And where a 16-year-old granddaughter is going through, that's where she is. Where her mother is going through, that's where she is. Where I am going through, the grandmother is with the Lord. And so we are in this together, but we're in different degrees of development. It's so normal for this. And then I need to say something for the benefit, not just of this group of dear saints in this meeting hall. Something I learned starting in 1977. And that I, with many others, spent a few weeks in Taiwan. And Brother Lee in Taipei was giving marvelous messages on the church as the one new man. And then after spending time there, some of us traveled with him to visit other churches, much smaller. I think I'm correct, but I may not be, that the church in Taipei is maybe the largest local church on the earth as far as numbers are concerned. It's, if you've ever been there, you're in a wonderful realm. And what kind of life and light supply you will just be taking in every moment that you're there. So I was with this group, and he was giving one or two messages in a much smaller locality, and he gave this marvelous message, and it was so enlightening and so deep. And here I am, kind of as a spiritual and early teenager, as far as growing in life, okay? I was not a little kid, but I was not an adult. And I just wondered, why did Brother Lee speak this message to such a small congregation? You know, it should have been when there are thousands of people. You know, I wasn't protesting, of course. I had no ground to do that. I wasn't questioning. I was just trying to understand. And then the Lord, who has always been patient with me, with the things I bring to him, and then the time came when, as the Lord was training and teaching and disciplining, he showed me something. You need to realize, Ron, whenever and wherever Brother Lee gives a message, he's not only addressing the saints in that meeting hall, he is speaking to the entire body of Christ universally. And so, I'm not trying to imitate. That is not real. Imitation is not real. But by the Lord's mercy and grace and long-suffering with someone like me, then now I'm beginning to realize what I've been saying to you and what I will share with you tomorrow is for you and for all the churches. But in various ways, it is for the universal body of Christ. Amen. And by different means, somehow, rather quickly, after the conference is over, it'll be all over the place. That's up to the Lord. It's not something I'm seeking, because the burden is the building up of the body of Christ as the preparation of the bride to bring the Lord back as soon as we are mature enough to marry him. And then one other matter is this. I won't go into the details, but I was with some brothers in a country called Georgia. It's south of Russia. And I was there in the main city giving a couple messages. I woke up early one morning, and then three words rose up in me, three expressions. One and one and one. One person, one way, one goal. And I realized from then study the word and study the ministry, The essence of God's New Testament economy is one person, the all-inclusive Christ. And we are all learning to take Christ as our person. Then the one way is the cross. We all need to just have a clear understanding in a positive way, without fear or reluctance, that God solves all problems by the cross. Any problem we have with ourselves, any weakness, anything in our being, the solution is termination, then resurrection. The Lord does not negotiate. He doesn't debate. He doesn't fight the way human beings fighting. What kind of fighting is going on in Ukraine? What kind of lies are behind it? No such thing. That his way, the only way to bring us all into maturity and to be experiencing and constituted with the all-inclusive Christ, he wants to be everything to us by the power of the resurrection life of Christ, but there are interferences in our being. We all were crucified when Christ was crucified. Romans 6:6 tells us our old man was crucified with Christ. This is a fact. But what took place on the cross then needs to be applied to us now, so that the Lord has the way in our being to just fill us with himself, to make his home in our heart, so we become his corporate expression. Then he will realize she's ready. She made herself ready. She's mature. She's my counterpart. I love her. I'm coming. Amen. And I love to say it. I said it in one of the messages from the line of that hymn. Oh, what an hour sweet when bride and bridegroom meet. Amen. In love surpassing comprehend. Don't you want to be there? Amen. That moment. Amen. When bride and bridegroom meet. Amen. So that is the goal. And then the goal is building up the church as the body of Christ. I fully agree with Brother Lee's utterance when he said in Matthew 16:18, quoting the Lord, on this rock I will build my church. He said, this is the greatest prophecy in the Bible. I will build my church. And this prophecy will and must be fulfilled in the present age. This is the age of the church, also known as the age of grace, the age of mystery, and the age of faith. And organized religious Christianity, that is not the realm where this prophecy will be fulfilled. That is why 100 years ago, the Lord knew he couldn't break through in the United States. He couldn't break through in Europe. So he went to China because he knew he could take his recovery on to another stage here, because we had these, humanly speaking, just exceedingly capable persons, but were dynamically saved and gave themselves to the Lord absolutely. And they became the channel of the ministry of Christ's word through, it's just a fact, our dear brother Watchman Nee, our dear brother Witness Lee. And I'm sad, this is a sidebar comment, that many in the United States, in seminaries and whatever they are, they won't receive it because there's a particular kind of racism with them. It's from China. Oh, they probably have an Eastern mysticism here. Well, you know, I'm from the West, but I would say, don't you realize you've got a Western mysticism? And I just thank the Lord for his mercy to me and for his preparing through judgment and discipline to gladly be under for the rest of my life training under Brother Witness Lee. We're not Leeites, we're not establishing a new denomination, but we certainly honor and respect our spiritual fathers. And so, we now realize the essence, one person, Christ. One way, the cross. One goal, the church built up. Now we come to message four, knowing the fellowship of Christ's sufferings, being conformed to his death, and attaining the out-resurrection. I want to make it clear and just acknowledge the experience here and the truth here is really profound. And I mention again, we're all one family. And so you are all able to receive the light of the truth and begin to understand all of these points. But we're at different stages. And so there are dear brothers and sisters that haven't been saved that long, that haven't been in the church very long, and they just have the sense, well, this is not something I'm going to experience this week, but I need to learn, because this is your spiritual future. And you just don't be afraid. You don't want to remain a spiritual infant or child. You want to grow to maturity. And you want to grow to maturity now, don't you? You don't want to have to add one more day to it. Of course, it's a long day. In human times, it's 1,000 years. And I mentioned yesterday, it's not too late for any of you. Even if there's someone here who has left the Lord's recovery 27 years ago when you were 41, and somehow the God of grace brought you back. And we have no questions. We have no opinions. We just receive you in love. Then the enemy will come and say, now you're back, but it's too late, buddy, too late. You've just wasted all the time. So we tell the enemy, shut your lying mouth. Amen. Here's a prophecy from Joel. I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. So just believe in this. It's not too late for anyone. Between now and the end of this year, the Lord, when he functions with a sevenfold intensified spirit, he can accomplish a marvelous development in any saint who's an open vessel to him. And it's not too soon. If something you're here, you're 14 years old, but when you're 11 or 12, you got saved and you were baptized, it's not too soon. You have the ability to learn this and understand, and you can start reading the Bible and pray with it, and the Lord will make himself real to you, and you'll love him and he'll love you. But there are, I'm sure, I'm not going to try to bring anyone out. Love covers, it doesn't expose. But I believe there are a number of us right here in this room and others that are eventually will hear the message in various ways. You are actually been undergoing what is described in this outline. And just listen carefully, but you may not realize what's happening. You may not understand what's happening. And I believe it would be a benefit to you that when the proper understanding, the interpretation of the verses, you realize, now I know. Now I know what's going on. Now I realize what the Lord is aiming at. He wants me to attain to the out-resurrection.
Amen.
He wants me to be an overcomer with a victorious resurrection. And we'll see in the last section of the outline, this means for the rest of my life, I'm going through a process of my natural life and nature being brought into resurrection. every part of our soul especially, along with our spirit, will be little by little be brought into resurrection. Eventually, you will be like the lover of the Lord in chapter 8 of Song of Songs. She's mature. She became his counterpart, the Shulamite. She was his co-worker. And to say very interesting, that little book began with a kiss. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Not just pecking on the cheek. I want him the kiss with the kiss of the mouth. This is divine romance. And then she said in chapter 8, I want to see you outside, meaning out of the flesh, with a transfigured body. When I see you, I will kiss you. So I don't think the Lord will just be a gentleman and say, good day. I am Jesus, and you are? I'm not going to try to guess. It's not in the Word, so I have no right to imagine. But I personally think there's going to be hugging and kissing when bride and bridegroom meet. So now let's go through these three sections. And I'll just emphasize particular points in each section. And just as at previous meetings, there will be, if not 30 minutes, almost 30 minutes for you to respond, hopefully in just a minute or a minute and a half. Okay, point one, Paul aspired to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Okay, Christ's sufferings. And it's a fellowship with it. And then we'll see when we go through the sub-points. This is Christ's suffering for the church. And I can't go into detail, but we need to have the understanding of different kinds of sufferings. If there's someone who has a job, and he's constantly late for work, like half an hour late, and has other defects, and the administrator just warns him that you've got to stop this or you won't be able to stay here. But he didn't stop, so he's fired, and now he says, I'm suffering for the sake of Christ. No, you're suffering because you're a lazy worker and you're not worth the money you were being given. And there are other kinds of sufferings that just because we're on the earth, just like the whole thing with the COVID virus, I don't want to go off into outer space, and not just the thing itself, but the way it was handled and the things we were told. And things were required, and closing down schools and this and that. It's just a universal suffering that we participated in just because we're human beings on the earth. And then there is what Paul makes very clear in 2 Corinthians, and what I learned again through Brother Lee's ministry in 1967. And I would introduce it this way. I'm fully in one accord with my fellow co-workers when they are burdened for the Lord to bring forth and develop another generation of brothers and their wives supporting them to bear their responsibilities in the churches, to be the leading brothers, to be the elders. We just want to open the way and for them to even go beyond where we were. And also we look to the Lord that the Lord would raise up not only brothers but also sisters serving full time, and brothers being among the co-workers, eventually at the very lead of it for the future. We're not holding anything in our hand. Nothing. We wouldn't prevent anyone's development. But I cannot, and the Lord does doesn't want me to just set aside a constant burden in me. We don't know how long before the Lord comes secretly to rapture his bride. Then what about the genuine ministry of the word? And I'm not worried, but I'm deeply concerned. What are we going to have on the platforms? Intelligent, articulate, gifted brothers who can, many are quite excited, they're stirred up, but it's not ministry. It's speaking with a gift. And my life changed on the Lord's Day morning in July 1967 when Brother Lee began to give a series of messages entitled Ministry Through the Cross. And he just made this one statement and one suggestion of prayer. And that is, ministry, the genuine ministry of the word, is the result of revelation plus suffering. There's no other way. And then Brother Lee suggested this after making it so clear. I had been in the church, for 8 or 9 months. What did I know? Really, nothing. But I was in the front row, and the Lord used that word to touch me. And Brother Lee said, brothers, just pray, Lord, please give me the experiences I need for you to bring me into the ministry of the word. And I genuinely prayed that. What, 56 years ago. And from that moment, the Lord began to answer that prayer. All kinds of sufferings, all kinds. And I look back upon it, and I just have to worship the Lord. How wise you are. What an opportunity this is. And now another kind of suffering, and please, in your thinking, don't think I'm applying this to anybody. I'm not. But there were a few very dear brothers, older than I, that went to be with the Lord 15, 20 years ago. But I did have a certain kind of organic relationship with them. And I realized they were faithful to the end, but they were exceedingly strong human beings, naturally. That's just how they were born. And someone had graduated from, one of these places to produce officers in the army. And it was very clear that when they were young, like in their 20s, they had an absolute consecration to the Lord. And one brother, I remember the day he said this. He was justifying, I just consecrate myself to the Lord. He's one of the elders in Los Angeles, one of the co-workers. He said, Lord, even if it's necessary to put me on a bed of cancer, do whatever you want. And when he was 49, that's exactly what happened. And he finished his course in victory. But two other brothers, they're now with the Lord, I can mention them, John Ingalls and Bill Mallon, they were also there. And they ended their course by rebelling and leaving the Lord's recovery. It's how we end. Well, these older brothers, the Lord honored their consecration. And he did it at the very last year or two of their life because they just longed to be in the kingdom, to end their life as an overcomer, to be faithful to the end. And so the Lord honored that. They became seriously, incurably ill, in most cases with intense sufferings. And that was not Christ's sufferings for the body. That was sufferings for transformation. And one brother was so touched, he just sent his little text saying that, I'm just praying from 2 Timothy 4. There's a crown of righteousness prepared for me. And these brothers ended their course in victory. And they were willing to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord was faithful to make them what they wanted to be in Christ. But what they attained for the glory of God did not contribute that much to the church and to the body. But if the Lord, and through all the countries, in China, South Korea, Japan, France, Germany, UK, Brazil, Canada, United States, there are brothers and sisters that have been willing to just brought all the way through. And then maybe for the next 20 or 30 years, they will be a channel of life. Just as Sister Lee was, as I mentioned last night. She lived to be 95, still engaged in spiritual warfare, as I mentioned. And just her presence in the meeting, just her saying hi to you, ministered Christ as life. Because there is a channel of this. But the fellowship of Christ's sufferings is explained in Colossians 1:24, and that is we are suffering for the benefit of the church as the body of Christ. The 20 years that our dear brother Nee was in confinement, suffering, I would say, without stopping for a minute. I'm not exaggerating, for a minute. Indescribable. But what was happening during those 20 years? He was touching life as never been, in a way, never been touched before. And that life flowed out through him. And he didn't know it, but some of his books were selling thousands and thousands of copies. Many of us, that's how we started to be in the recovery. We read this book and that book, and then we found out he had a co-worker, Brother Lee. And so perhaps in the eyes of God, that was the richest portion of his life. And he could have stayed out of mainland China. But he was asked someone in Hong Kong, bring me to the train station. He knew he had to go there. I believe he knew what the destiny would be. Well, we're not going to be in that kind of experience. But there is a need, and we'll see when we come to the very end, there will be something on the that will come forth that I believe you will never forget. You will never, ever forget when we reach this point. And I'll manage the time so that we actually do it. And so, the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. What did the Lord say when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus, whom we know as Paul? Paul saw light brighter than the sun. And then the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting them? You shouldn't be persecuting them. Why are you persecuting me? But he was doing all that he could to arrest and vote for the death penalty of brothers and sisters. He would barge into a house and drag men and women out and bring them to trial. And he would vote for execution. And he wasn't satisfied with what he did in Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to go to some other city. Give me a document to show. He was on his way breathing out murder. That's recorded. But he was chosen before the foundation of the world. And the Lord came, not by sending another apostle to debate with him. There could always be argument over truth. But no one can argue with intense light. When Christ comes through the earth visibly as the sun, there will be no atheists on the earth. Because everyone will see directly, this is the glorious God-man Jesus. And so, when Paul said, when the Lord said, you're persecuting me, that indicates I'm feeling what they're feeling. Their suffering is my suffering. And we know, and it was made clear to Paul from the beginning, he's chosen to be an apostle. He would write these four letters that are marvelous. And he knew, and I believe next to the Lord Jesus, he suffered more than any other believer in the history of the church. Like I mentioned last night in 2 Corinthians, he's describing this. He said, I've been in shipwrecks, was it 3 or 4 times? Then he was in shipwreck, the ultimate one, the last one. And then he said, I spent a whole night in the Mediterranean, day and night. I'm curious, I'm going to ask him, if I'm allowed to, how did you stay afloat, right? But he wasn't feeling sorry for himself. At one point he said, it's all for you. You, the church, it's for you. And so it's just better that we not have any opinions. When a dear saint is suffering, even passes away as a result of suffering, we just shouldn't touch it. It's better that we not say anything. But if someone says, oh, these brothers, these older brothers I referred to indirectly, they were in the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And the Lord will just be silent. But those with a deep discernment would realize it wasn't that. It was God's faithful working out of their consecration. It was the suffering for transformation. And so this is the main thought here. So now we'll go through this section. With Christ, the sufferings and death came first, followed by the resurrection. With us, the power of resurrection comes first, followed by the participation in his sufferings and conformity to his death. That is why Paul mentioned, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Then he spoke about the sufferings. And so it is the power of resurrection bringing us to the cross. The issue of being through the cross is more resurrection life. Therefore, a stronger power of resurrection enables us to experience the cross. This is the cycle. And then we have the divine understanding. The cross is solving all the problems. The solve is breaking my outer man. The cross is enabling the resurrection life to flow out of me and to minister others. B, Christ's sufferings are of two categories. Those for accomplishing redemption, which were completed by Christ himself, and those producing and building the church, which need to be filled up by the apostles and the believers. And so there are two categories of sufferings. Only Christ suffered for our redemption. There is no way, no need for us to participate in this, although some aspects, of the Roman Catholic Church when it comes to like Holy Week, you know, before Easter. In some places, they have people nail them to the cross. They actually do this. They think they're experiencing this. This is an insult to the Lord. But there is another kind of suffering that ministers life to the church for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, point one, we cannot participate in Christ's sufferings for redemption, but we must take part of the sufferings of Christ for the producing and building up of the body. This is why we had the leading to sing this hymn. This is the other side. You know, if no death, no life. If no death, no life. Then I'll spend maybe 5 minutes on the next part because there's some crucial things here based on John 12:24, which I'll read to you. Christ as the Lamb of God suffered for redemption. Christ as the grain of wheat suffered for reproducing and building. The Lord as a grain of wheat, as a grain of wheat that fell into the ground, lost his soul life through death, that he might release his eternal life in resurrection to the many grains. So I read the verse now, then shortly after, I'll read two others. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So this is the life-releasing aspect of Christ's death. He was a grain of wheat. And if he just didn't fall into the ground and die, he would just exist. There would be no reproduction. But for the release of life, he fell into the ground and died. The shell was broken. The life was released. And the product was many grains. And we are the many grains. If you are a child of God, and you are, if your spirit is now the spirit of life in you, you have been truly regenerated. You are a grain of wheat. And now, how does this verse apply to us? Well, verse 25 and verse 26. He who loves his soul life loses it. And he who loses his soul life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So how do we follow him? In this matter, he was a grain of wheat. He fell into the ground and died to produce many grains. Now we are a grain of wheat. And this is what happened in China, starting in the early 1920s. There was a grain of wheat there, a sister, Emmy Barber. And she is from the UK. And there was a brother there, just an outstanding Bible scholar and minister, just an outstanding, faithful brother. He really loved her and she loved him. And they wanted to be married. But she had to say, I can't be in the UK anymore. I have to be in China. The Lord has sent me here. She was there before. She was falsely accused. Went through that. That was taken care of. Then the Lord sent her back. Then he had to say, I can't be in China. I just have to, the Lord is burdened. So they both paid the price. So as far as I know, she went there and didn't do anything except fall into the ground and die. And many young men that were saved came to her for fellowship, but only one remained. Only one would receive her rather harsh but faithful perfection. And we know that was our brother Nee. When she was passing away, she gave to him her copy of the Darby Bible. She was a grain of wheat. I think I'm not exaggerating when I say, if this dear sister had not followed the Lord to just fall into the ground and die, just to be nothing, apparently accomplished nothing, we wouldn't be here this morning. There wouldn't be the Lord's recovery in the United States. There wouldn't have been the recovery of the ground of the church. But it was through the price that she paid, the Lord was able to prepare Brother Watchman Nee, who truly was one of the two ministers of the age, had the vision of the age. You read his book, The Glorious Church, it's just astounding. And then the Lord dynamically saved Brother Lee when he was young, about 20. And they brought the two together. And Brother Lee just served faithfully, honoring the leadership of Brother Nee. And then in 1948, Brother Nee called all the co-workers together. And he said, I know because of the result of this 1948 presidential election, I know what is going to happen in China. That there'll be another kind of government. And I am here and we need to be here to suffer whatever is necessary. But you, Brother Lee, you cannot stay here. We must send you out either to Taiwan or Hong Kong so that we don't lose everything that we had here. And then we know our brother was confined and just went to be with the Lord during in that kind of imprisonment. And then what happened? The ministry of the age was then passed on to Brother Lee. And he went to be with the Lord. And his word, it's written in a letter, circulated and translated into different languages from March 1997. He said, the Lord has prepared a group of blended brothers. So now there isn't a Brother Nee, Brother Lee, and Brother Me. There's no Brother Me. The Lord wants to have a blended group representing the reality of the body of Christ. And the Lord said in verse 25, I need to stay here a little bit more. He who loves his soul life loses it. Well, God created us, human beings, with a need for enjoyment, need for pleasure. But when Satan injected his sinful nature into us, and all of us has, then the soul became the self, and everything is for the self. The self is the center. And one characteristic of the self, especially in a country like the United States, we just will do everything we can to avoid suffering and have the most enjoyment. And I will not do anything that's going to take away from my self-life enjoyment. But the Lord made it very clear in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He just said, do you want to follow me? If you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself, take up the cross, and then follow me. Then you have to decide, are you willing to lose your soul life for my sake? Or are you going to save your soul life? And I'm sorry to say, I'm speaking in principle. Some dear saints, they have young adult daughters and sons, early 20s. And they want to go to the full-time training. And they say, don't do that. You lose 2 years in your career. You'll be behind others. In other words, you're going to do some suffering there. And we're not going to pretend. It's not paradise. It's a training. You're not going to have your own room. You're going to be in a house with about 10 or 12 saints. You're not going to sleep until 9:30. You're going to get up at 6. You're not going to stay up till 2 a.m. You're going to turn the lights out at 10:30. And you're going to have classes 6 days a week. You'll have most of Monday off. So you can do the laundry and get a haircut and do some physical exercise. And then here we go again. Well, this is something we have to consider. Are you willing to lose the joy of the soul life for the sake of the Lord? And in Mark 8, the Lord said, are you willing to lose your soul life for me and for the gospel? Because that costs something. Preach the gospel. And then I just conclude this by saying, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, where the man-child has been raptured to heaven, the overcomers, and then a war broke out in the heavens between God's angel and Satan and his angels, and they were thrust down to the earth. Just because of these overcomers were resurrected and ascended. Then the Lord, then we're told that the enemy, just accusing us day and night, then this is what the Lord said. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Then this is what they said. They did not love their soul life unto death. And so this is something we have to consider. Don't make a hasty decision. Just consider this. This is one of the requirements that Paul illustrates, that he was not living for himself. He was not living for pleasure for himself. He was not intending to have a rich, pleasant life. He knew what his journey was, what his commission was. And he and Peter and John and all the apostles, they were faithful unto the end. And whatever they had to do for the gospel, for the church, for God's economy, for God's purpose, if it cost them something, if it had cost their soul life enjoyment, they just said, amen. I'm not here for that. Because they knew what the Lord would say if they stand before him as overcomers. Well done. Enter into the joy of your master. Now you'll have 1,000 years of my joy. But this doesn't mean we're not going to have any happiness. The Lord wants to be our joy. He wants us to enjoy him. But that's in a different nature than the self-life that if there's a certain kind of music that you really like, your soul loves that, and the Lord might just come to you and say, you know, I want you to sing. There's some wonderful music you can sing, but here's your choice. Listen to that or follow me. And you say, I love that music. Well, you are, but actually you're saying, I love myself. I love my soul life. But when you have the vision of God's economy being fulfilled, the body built up, the bride made herself ready, and the Lord saying perhaps to you, well done, faithful serving one, enter into the joy of my Lord, you'll realize the price I paid was nothing compared to this reward. And so, the one grain, little bee, did not complete all the sufferings that are needed for the building up of the body. As the many grains, we must suffer in the same way that one grain suffered. And so, don't try to do this by your own effort. As you have the inner sense, just please bring this to the Lord in your personal fellowship and make the decision like I was just a young brother in the recovery. I understood what Brother Lee said. Revelation and suffering produces ministry. And I have to say honestly, he knew. I let him know the inward calling I had when I was 16. I said, I was called for this. Then I realized, Lord, I choose to take this way. Not as a hero, just as an ordinary brother. But you read Ephesians 4, we're all being perfected unto the ministry for the building up of the body, because there's the corporate side of this. And so, to be faithful to the Lord and to you, I just can't stop with knowing Christ in the power of his resurrection. We have to participate in the fellowship of his sufferings for the body, not sufferings for your transformation, but the kind of suffering that Christ went through and still feels. And we are in fellowship for this. We're willing to pay the price for this because we are responding to the Lord's love and faithfulness. Okay, section 2. In Philippians 3:10, Paul spoke of being conformed to his death. This expression indicates that Paul desired to take Christ's death as the mold of his life. And actually, as I read these points, I think they speak for themselves. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ, counting all things as loss, gaining Christ, being found in him, knowing him, knowing the power of his resurrection, and knowing the fellowship of his sufferings, all issue in one thing, being conformed to Christ's death. Because we will see we're just like being put into a mold for making cookies or pie. We're just like the elements. And we're pressed there by the power of resurrection because we say, Lord, I'm willing to be in the mold. And you lie down, and shortly after, you just spring out. That's how it is. But when we know the power of Christ's resurrection, and then this enables us to just be conformed to the mold of Christ's death, then we realize this is not a judgmental death upon sin. This is the fellowship with Christ. While I'm here, he's becoming so precious to me. Didn't you have fresh love for the Lord when we were singing and praying over him, 82? What a price he paid for us. He loved us. What a wonderful Christ this is. And now he wants to bring us on. He said, I want you to be constituted with me. I want you to be my reproduction. I don't want you to remain a spiritual child. So now the next stage is coming now. You're heading toward maturity, spiritual adulthood. And so you need to know what the mold, the form of my death is, so that I can apply the cross to you thoroughly to remove every negative thing, and then I can saturate you with the power of my resurrection life. When you have this view, you realize, oh, there is fear about this. And the fear is actually the enemy being terrified by brothers and sisters being produced like this, because they will be the overcomer army. And they will be the one to apply Christ's victory. Just a long time I've had the thought, when the Lord returns to the earth with his bridal army, and when the Lord applies his victory to the enemy before he's thrown into the abyss, I just wonder if he might do this. He said, you know how you started this whole thing? By deceiving a woman. Now, I want to introduce to you another woman, my warrior wife. And she knows that I won the victory, and she is sharing this victory, and I want her to apply my victory over you and send you to the bottom of the abyss. And we know you'll come out 1,000 years later and we'll still be here, because then you're going to be sent to the lake of fire. And we're going to be happily married ever after. This is really going to be the case. B, being conformed to Christ's death is the base of the experience of Christ. The mold of Christ's death refers to the continual putting to death of his natural human life, that he might live by the life of God. This is how he lived. He had no sins, but he had a natural human life. And his choice was, I can just be a sinless human being and just going according to my human nature and human life. How can I be judged? But he realized in John 57, I live because of the Father. He's my life. And so I apply the cross not to sin, because there isn't any, but to my natural life, to my natural capability, so that the life of God, my Father, would become my life, and in this way I will become your life. See, the mold of Christ's death refers to the continual putting to death of his, his natural human life. Okay, D, Christ's death is a mold to which we are conformed in much the same way as dough is put into a cake mold and conformed to it. And so I hope you're not offended if I refer to you as dough, you know, that we're going to be part of the bread of life corporately. It's just an illustration. So we're going to be placed here. Now, you can avoid it for now. You can. You will not be forced. You can say, I'm not going there. Okay. Then the Lord, I've seen the Lord just take off hands of certain brothers. He's been trying to gain them through the discipline of the Spirit. And then he just took his hand off, and they thought everything was fine. But actually the Lord was saying, I can't get through with you. So I'll let you have your way. I'll see you later. And that's what will happen. But if we have a positive view of this, we realize, Lord, I really want to be reshaped, to be your reproduction, to be your part of your corporate expression. God has put us into the mold of Christ's death, and day by day, God is molding us to conform us to his death, this death. Our life should be conformed to such a mold, dying to our human life in order to live the divine life. If we put to death our natural life, we shall have the consciousness that we have another life. So let me ask you, but please don't answer, as you're sitting right here and during the Lord's table meeting and at other times, do you at least sometimes have the consciousness that there's another life in you besides your natural human life? I believe most of you do. Right now, this is an indicator. You've already been in the mold more than you realize. And what is the result? It's just the consciousness of life, the life of God. And then as you remain in the mold, you become conscious of the whole body of Christ. And eventually, you will realize, I am here, not mainly for my spiritual maturing. I'm here for the body of Christ. This is my participation to be like the grain of wheat fallen to the ground and died. This is happening not just for me. This is happening for Christ and the church. This is the way I'm serving him. And almost all the experiences will be kept hidden. You will not be allowed to mention them ever. Certain things, for the benefit of others, you'll give a minimal testimony. But some of the deepest things are between you and the Lord. But those who have the discernment will realize, and allow me to say this, that I just didn't like look around and examine anybody. But as soon as I began to interact with saints here in person, I just was one level of joy after another. I haven't seen you for 3 years, and there is so much more Christ in you. I don't say nice things. I'm not a politician. I don't say things to make people feel good. I can't do that. It's so true. This is just the way it is. The last 3 years have not been in vain. There's more Christ in so many of us. Let's just press on like this.
Amen.
And we'll be willing to stay in the mold.
Amen.
Three, if we put to death our natural life, we shall have the consciousness that we have another life, the divine life within us. This will be released, and then in our experience, we shall be conformed to Christ's death. If we allow our circumstances to press us into the mold, our daily life will be molded into the form of Christ's death. Notice this. If we allow our circumstances. You can prevent this. You can't control the circumstances. But it's possible to exercise a strong self-will and say, okay, I'm going to survive this. I'm not a weakling. But nothing's going to touch me in this situation. I'll just live through. That's the kind of person I am. I'm not a wimp. And you may be a female, but oh, they can be strong at the core. Well, this is an important thought. You're in circumstances. Do you think they're accidental? There's no accidents with God.
Amen.
There isn't any. And so we need to learn to inquire of him and at least open to him and say, Lord, whatever you're wanting to gain in this, please go ahead. I don't want this to be wasted. Lord, I'm going to have this quadruple open heart surgery and have to set aside everything and just take 12 plus weeks to begin to be recovered. Lord, I don't want this to be in vain. This is a blessed time I'm one with you in this, Lord, for the sake of the body, Lord. I don't want to just get through and struggle. This is your sovereign arrangement. This is your will for me in this stage of my life. And eventually you will have the same kind of aspiration, the same willingness. Lord, I don't know why this is happening now, but I do know you're the wise, sovereign God, and I don't want this to be wasted. So, Lord, I don't understand what's happening. You're keeping silent when I ask you. When I pray, it seems that there's no answer. But remember, he's living God, but he's hiding right now. But he's active right now. And then 5, we are conformed to the mold of Christ's death by the power of Christ's resurrection. So again, we can't do it by our own effort. You can't say, oh, this sounds so inspiring. I'm going to do it, Lord, I promise, to lie down in the mold. You're sincere. But probably, you know, now it's about 17 minutes after 11. Probably by 7:02 p.m., you will be out of the mold. But maybe before you leave, you're going to have a lunch here if you want it. We just spring out. We have a reaction to something, and that is springing out. I'm quite familiar with this. I do numerous springing out of the mold. It just happens. Boop. Someone say this. Ah. Someone drives like this. Ugh. Well, if I'm in the mold and I'm really living Christ, the response is very different. So, E, as we are conformed to Christ's death, we experience his all-accomplishing death. By being conformed to his death, we experience Christ in his death for the release, impartation, and multiplication of his life. Here you are, one with Christ, that he released life through his death and resurrection. Now he's releasing life through you. I mean it, through you. You're not aware of it because that's what's normal. You just have the inner sense of Christ and you're having some brief fellowship with someone after a meeting. It's just in genuine fellowship and it's just brotherly love for everyone. But the recipient realizes when they come away, I'm just refreshed. I was going to bring up an issue, but I don't need to now. It's just been swallowed up. And this is how we relate to one another. We're loving one another. We're shepherding one another. We're all sheep, and we're all shepherds. This needs to penetrate you. Because if I did this, I tried this out on the young people in the training about shepherding. You are sheep. We're all sheep. We're all shepherds. And I said, okay, I have 2 questions, but the second question is the important one. Do you think I can shepherd you? And of course they say yes, but here's my question. Do you realize that you can shepherd me? You can. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're members of the body. You can minister Christ to me. I don't just sit here and say, I'm willing to be shepherded by the leading co-workers on the earth. Others don't touch me. I'm on the highest peak. What kind of self-glorification is this? Eventually, you will reach the point in 2 parts. One is, Lord, I can't live without you. And then you will also say, Lord, I cannot live without the body of Christ. Amen. I can't. I'm here, standing here, healthier than I've been for a long time, because of the sovereign care of God and by the prayers of saints all over the earth. Without the body, I wouldn't be here. And the Lord brought me through this for the body. So you know, deep within, this is not theory that I'm talking about. This is real. And I'm just so content to be a member in the body. When we're all together as the New Jerusalem, the corporate wife of the redeeming God, there will be millions and millions and millions of us, and we'll all be content with just one little part of that. Because the self that wanted to be first, the self that wanted to be the center, has been thoroughly dealt with. And now we're just content forever, enjoying our husband unendingly. I like this final point especially, too. If we are willing to be conformed to Christ's death, we shall overcome the world and defeat Satan. That's why he's afraid of this. Oh, these crucified people, I know their effect. Because I know what happened with Peter, Paul, and John, and Brother Nee, Sister Barbara, Sister Lee, Brother Lee, many other brothers and sisters. But we realize, oh, if this is going to overthrow the world and defeat Satan, thank you, Lord. This is your way. Now we come to the third section for about 10 or 12 minutes. The result of being conformed to Christ's death is that we may attain to the out resurrection from the dead. As far as I know, I'm not an expert in Greek, that Paul coined this word, out resurrection. And the thought is, this is a special resurrection. And I follow Brother Lee's example. It's like someone graduating from high school or university, and they have passed their courses, and so they may call the name, and they give you a document, and so-and-so graduated. But then there are certain students that they were not only very intelligent, but they were hardworking, very thorough. And so they would say, this is Miss So-and-so, graduating with a degree in history, and is graduating with honors because the grades were so high. That is what the out resurrection is like. All the deceased believers will be resurrected. There'll be more who have depassed than those passed away than those who will be alive when the Lord comes. But there are two kinds of resurrections. And even if you don't die physically, spiritually, we want to be heading toward this resurrection. And that is, it is the victorious resurrection. It's the overcomer's resurrection. Because you have been brought into, experientially, the resurrection life of Christ. The out resurrection is the outstanding resurrection, the extra resurrection, which will be a prize to the overcoming saints. Only the Lord knows the situation. But when I learned that this dear brother, 80 years old, this dear sister, 82 years old, has passed away, there's just the sense from what we know of their faithfulness and their just faithful function among us. We just had the sense probably they will have an out resurrection. They finish the course in peace and in victory. But we haven't finished the course. We're still heading toward the end. And everything will be determined by the end. I won't repeat that illustration about the two-minute procedure in that football game. But there is this special And we're going to, we'll see as we come to the end, how this applies to each one of us personally and how it applies to the entire recovery corporately. And so, the Lord's overcomers will enjoy an extra outstanding portion of that resurrection, a resurrection in which they will receive the reward of the kingdom. This is what the Apostle Paul sought after. The goal is the kingdom. Don't you want to be in the kingdom? Amen. And you know the kingdom truth, most of you. But that is not going to get you in. It's the out resurrection that will open the way. And so you're hearing this, and as you pursue the Lord regarding this and experience what arranges for you, then you will be moving in the direction of the out resurrection. Two, the out resurrection should be the goal and destiny of our Christian life. This is on the personal side. And I, covered by the Lord, I can say honestly to you, brother to brothers and sisters, the goal personally of my Christian life, and has been for a very long time, is the out resurrection. I don't want to waste all the things that happen in my life on the earth. I want the Lord to bring me little by little into the out resurrection. So when I finish the course, however it is and whenever it is, I'll have the sense I will receive this reward. It's the goal and the destiny of our Christian life. So just consider, but not just now, I hope off and on for quite a period of time, what is your personal goal? And I'm not talking about any kind of position in the church or anything like this, just personally, between you and the Lord. What's on your heart? What's your goal? What do you want the issue of the end to be? And I would put it this way, that has just been ringing in me again and again and again in a positive way, standing before the Son of Man at the judgment seat, and is examining my life and my work. He has a record of everything I've done. Sometimes I'm looking for something on my computer with dozens, scores of folders with all kinds of outlines, and I'm just kind of astounded. I said, did I do this? And it just made me think right away, the Lord records every positive thing in your life and service. On the positive side, he said, you know, you don't remember how you took care of the person in shepherding and how you served with the children's meeting and just how you even cleaned the meeting hall. So many things. I kept a record of it. And now, based upon your work, you're getting a prize. And I'm glad to say that your living matches your serving. So, enter into my joy. Well done. Don't you want to hear that? Amen. And here is a sidebar comment. In that parable, we all know someone got 5 talents, someone got 2, and one got just 1. And he's the one that didn't use it for anything. And the fact is, the vast majority of brothers and sisters in the churches have 1 talent. But it is the 1 talented members that will bring in the final revival. Amen. It won't be those with many talents. Their function is to minister to others and care for others and perfect others in the way of life. So please don't minimize your person before the Lord. I say this directly from the depths of my heart to every one of you. You have a portion of Christ. Amen. That no one else has or ever will have directly. Amen. And the only way we can enjoy and appreciate this aspect of Christ is through you. No one can replace you. The Lord chose you to be here. He saved you to be here. And you're a member of the body. I remember getting a call from a sister. I was in my early 30s. I hardly knew much. I'd learned a little, usually from the common way, is by mistakes. I learned by the ministry with revelation and mistakes. You put them together, you take a little step forward. And she said, she felt bad about herself. And she said, I think the church can go along without me. I wonder, what do I say to her? You know, and I thought, well, if I lose my left thumb, I think I could go on living. You know, there was this one king in Judges, when he would capture another king, he would cut off his thumbs and his big toes. Well, he went on living, but not in a normal way. So maybe the Lord was within me. I said, sister, the church could go on without you, but we would go on much better with you.
Amen.
And so she was faithful to the end.
Amen.
Okay, point B. To arrive at the out-resurrection indicates that our entire being is gradually and continually resurrected. It's a process. And it's been taking place since you walked in the door on Friday night. It's just little by little, this is operating in you. This is a process in life through which we must pass and a race that we must run until we arrive at the out resurrection as the prize. If we are conformed to Christ's death, every part of our being will be gradually resurrected. Thus, the resurrection life, the Christian life, is a process of resurrection. This is the key thing. And I've been learning, this is a governing principle of my daily life. This very thing. I want to repeat deliberately. Okay, being conformed to Christ's death, every part of our being will be gradually resurrected. The Lord, this is part of the Lord's will of God for you. He wants every part of your being to gradually be resurrected. Thus, the Christian life is a process of resurrection. This is a process. And we're not discouraged because we haven't arrived at the goal. None of us have. But it's in my heart, honestly, for all of you. And I'm not being sentimental here. It's in my heart for all of you because I love you. I care for you. I have aspiration concerning you. I have to run my part of the race personally. And you have to run your race personally. But I just look at you and I just inwardly, privately praying from my spirit is just welling up. May every one of you be in the process of resurrection every day until you are raptured. And just have a simple prayer. Lord, today, continue the process until my whole being is brought into resurrection. And then you will have a transfigured body. Then the Lord will say, welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to the wedding feast. You did it. Then you say, Lord, you know, you did it.
Amen.
And now let me read point C to you, and then I'll end with a certain request of you. We need to be conformed to Christ's death so that by any means we may attain to the out resurrection from the dead. This is the only way for the Lord to go on in his recovery.
Amen.
Brothers, what is this? This is the only way for the Lord to go on in his recovery. Do you want the Lord, don't you, to go on in where you live, in the church where you are, in the mountain states or wherever you are, to go on? Do we want just the same, kind of just be in the sea and just keeping ourselves afloat like this? No. Then it goes on. The only way for the Lord to build up his church, the only way to prepare the bride, and the only way to bring the Lord back. Now I'm asking you, sisters, just stay seated. Please read point C. Go ahead. Brothers, please read.
We need to be conformed to Christ's death so that by any means we may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the only way for the Lord to go on in his recovery. The only way for the Lord to build up his church. The only way to prepare the bride. The only way to bring the Lord back.
Dear Lord Jesus, lead all of us on the way.
Amen.
So we have about 22 minutes, and please try to limit your sharing to a minute. And we don't want to just call something out, but maybe if one of us would raise a hand and just indicate, how about finishing up in 5 seconds, okay? But please now follow the inner sense. Because like I told you before, the message isn't completed yet. You need to complete it by giving a word of testimony or confirmation about something that touched you.
Amen.
So please just follow the anointment. Stand up. The microphone will come. When you speak, we will be one with you and draw your spirit out.
Amen.
And then we can say, amen, we finished the conference. Okay,
amen.
Please go ahead.